Hey, Tom, you're our sales pro. Tell us about your podcast.
Do you have many boomers that are rebels?
Believe it or not, one of my first clients was a boomer.
All right, I want you to turn me into a rebel today.
I'm a Philly girl. I listen to Rocky, and I'm going up those stairs, man, and I could do anything.
And I came back from corporate, and I sat at the desk, and I actually had to do sales, and I was mortified.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
OK, Tom, you're our sales pro. In 30 words or less, can you tell us about this podcast?
I'm going to try. You know, us salespeople like to talk, Kelly.
You sure do.
All right, 30 words or less.
Can you do it?
Well, if you're a sales pro and you're looking to grow in your sales career, if you like good, lively sales discussion, I think this is going to be a show for you. I've walked your walk for over 30 years in sales. I've knocked on the doors and overcome the same obstacles I think you may be facing as a seller, a sales manager, and as a VP of sales. I currently help assess, build, and train high-performing media sales teams. Well, Kel?
Yeah, you really went over 30 words. Okay, Tom, who's the boomer we're talking to today?
Kel, we have a great episode today. We have Jeff Bajorek. He's a podcast host. He's a sales consultant. He's a trainer. A really great guy. I love his show.
Okay.
And, but one of the things that I learned about his show, he and his partner, Christy, they have a green room.
You listen
to a lot of podcasts. Any of them have green rooms?
Not that I know of, but isn't that like before like a talk show where people would sit in the green room and then come out onto the show?
Yeah. And so what they do is that they have an opportunity to kind of talk to their guest and go through some things.
Okay.
And as I do with it, you know, if there's a guest I really don't know well, we typically have a pre-call.
Right.
What they do though is they tape the pre-call.
Oh, wow.
So as they're getting to know someone, they're taping it, and then they're looking for these nuggets, something that comes out, and you're going to hear, we basically started ours off with a green. Did you know we had a green room?
I did not know that.
Today we have a green room.
Nice.
And boy, did we get a nugget from Jeff, and it's something I hope the audience bears with us, because the green room, we went for about 10 minutes today.
Okay.
But it was fun stuff, really good conversation. And there's a really good nugget about why introverts can be successful in sales.
Which you wouldn't think would be possible.
You wouldn't, right? But
no.
Jeff, he framed it in a way I've never heard. And it made me really want a green room, because that nugget came out as we're just kind of talking.
Right.
And it may not have come out in the episode itself.
So that wasn't anything you had thought about talking to him about?
No clue that was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you know, in sales, we do a lot of preparation. We do a lot of planning.
Right.
Sometimes some of the best things happen that, you know, we just didn't see coming.
Nice.
Yeah. So great episode. It's also one, listeners, if you know anybody right now, I mean, it's the end of summer.
Right.
We're all coming back. A lot of people are getting back to work, getting back to school. We're all hoping for great things as we close out 2021. If you know someone who's looking for work right now or considering a career in sales, this is the episode for them, because Jeff is going to talk. Jeff was not born to be a seller.
Right.
He didn't know he was going to go into sales. We're going to hear his story about how he got into sales. And to me, it's very inspirational for anyone right now that's looking for a new career and maybe had somebody tell them you should think about sales.
Sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be fun.
All right, let's listen.
Let's go.
Jeff, this is really exciting. I don't have a green room. So, you know, before we get started, before I even introduce you, I want to pretend I have a green room. Now, you and Christy have a green room, and I'd love to hear what you do in it. Now, you guys, I was very excited. I heard recently 5 years you've had the podcast.
Yeah.
Well over 400 and some shows. How many do I need before I officially get a green room? And what am I missing in the green room?
It's your show. So if you want a green room, you get a green room. You get a green room. You get a green room. You get a good, right? Anybody wants a green room. You know, it's funny. We started capturing some of those conversations when we recognized that some of the best episode gold was there before we pressed record. And so it's like, all right, as soon as we get in, press record and
just get,
you know, kind of just get started. And, you know, it lubricates the conversation a little bit. It gives you some inside jokes to refer to in the episode. And it's just kind of funny. It's a nice little icebreaker. Most of the episodes that we have now, most of the interviews we have now are people we know. We've been doing it for, you know, this is our fifth season. We're almost 5 years into this. And so we've got a lot of friends. We've got some people who are kind enough to come back. And some others who actually do their homework ahead of time and know of us before they come on. So it's not quite like it was, you know, a few years ago where it was like, hey, do you mind coming on the show? Like, we think we can serve your audience well and, you know make the most of
your time. Very good Tom Bloomer impersonation. You have me nailed right there. That's been me for about 8 months, Jeff. So I like it.
But you're... I was telling you this before we recorded. I mean, the way that you use this podcast so intentionally, right? And this is your means of content creation to support the book and everything else that you're doing. And it just ties together so nicely. And I mean, look, you've been doing this a long time. You know the ins and outs of working with people. You're great to talk to. You're engaging. And I'm glad that the audience gets to hear this side of you, because it's tough when you put yourself out there and you're just, you know, it's about the content and it's about the, you know, making sure that people know that you're someone worth talking to with something worth talking about, right? I think a lot of people forget that people want to see the fun side of you too. People want to know what it's like to be Tom. They know Tom Bloomer, the author, you know, okay, Boomer, teach me sales. But do they know Tom? Do they know Tom, right? Are there people who call you Tommy? You know, are you in trouble when you hear Thomas? Like, what, you know, what are those kinds of things? And you get to show
a little
bit of that.
They have to subscribe, Jeff. I charge a fee for that, but you know, we're going to give it for free today. But you know, you got to be, you know, it's funny. And I've talked with different people, and I'm sure over the years, I'm sure you've done a couple shows on this. Some people are very introverted and some are very extroverted. When I'm not doing something like this, boy, I don't really talk to people that much, Jeff. So there's really no Tom to get to know. He's not the nicest guy. But I think part of it is when we have to be on and talk to people like we're doing here all day. At the end of the day, sometimes I just don't have much talking left in me. So does your clock run out, or are you Jeff all day long?
I am Jeff all the time, but there is definitely an expiration date. You know, I mean, for instance, you know, just yesterday, you know, we get done with dinner and kids are doing the dishes, and it was a beautiful weekend here in Michigan. I went out on the back porch and I sat down, I was reading a book, and my wife came out and she said, "You look exhausted." And I was exhausted. And, you know, I just, yeah. And I will, like you, just tend to remove myself, right? Like, when I'm on, I'm on. And I don't have a problem being on. And it is not an ingenuine reflection of who I am. It's very much who I am. I like to please people. I like to make people laugh. I like to make people think. But there is time where I just needed to be me, right? And I have a tendency to wake up way earlier than everybody in my house. And that also means that I go to bed sometimes a lot earlier than other people in my house. And I think
they allow that to happen
my day. Well, as the kids get a little older, and this is funny. I'm forgetting who it was that asked me this. Oh, I know who it is right now, but I don't think your audience would know her anyway. But she said, "What's the trick? Why is it that, you know, the people who want to go to bed the most are in charge of putting to bed the people who want to go to bed the least?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "You know, a little parenting hack. Ask them to tuck you in." Like, wait, what? You're going to bed? Yeah, I'm going to bed. So if you want me to tuck you in, we better do that right now. Otherwise, you're going to have to tuck me in. And boy, the kids go to sleep. It's pretty funny how that works. But now that mine are a little older, it's like, all right, I'm going to bed. They're like, okay, night, Dad. And that's it. So yeah, I get a little bit of that. But it kind of bookends my day. You know, I get some quiet time by myself in the morning, get a little bit of quiet time by myself in the evening, and it helps me to recharge. But the most successful salespeople I know, Tom, are introverts. And I told that to somebody a couple of months ago and they were blown away by that. They're like, what do you mean? This was obviously an extrovert that I was talking to. And he's like, I feel like a lot of my success comes from being very extroverted and throwing myself into the mix and doing all that. And I said, yeah, that can work for you too. And I'm not saying that there aren't tremendous salespeople who are extroverts, but the memo that most people miss is how insightful, how personable, how engaging introverts can be, because they rely on the other person in the conversation to bring the conversation. You know, those introverts who are expert salespeople, you know what they're really good at? Asking questions so they don't have to talk. And so you get somebody talking, oh man, a ton of listening. When you feel listened to, you feel that connection. And if you're actually listening rather than just giving the impression that you're listening, wow, what are the things that you can learn? What are the things that you can remember? How does that help you tailor what it is that you need to say next? I mean, it's really, really powerful. And most people miss that memo, I think.
Yeah. No, you know what? I've never heard anyone explain it the way you just did. And it makes so much sense, because when you don't want to be the focus of all the discussion, when you don't want to be talking all the time, yeah, you do ask good questions and you are typically listening. So that, you know, I now see the beauty of the green room, because had we not been recording, I would not have that nugget. And you and I both know you can't reproduce it, right? We could say, hey, let's talk about that when we go live, and it's just never going to be the same. So, that was fantastic.
Have you ever forgotten to press record on a podcast?
Not yet. I forgot to make sure I had the right microphone on. we don't even want to go there, but so far I've always hit. I think I wake up in the middle of the night afraid to not do that. So I think I have that one.
I just knocked on wood for you. It'll be okay. I have, man, I think one time I forgot to press record. And there was another time, maybe one or two times where I was a guest on someone else's show and they forgot to press record. And we get through this beautiful conversation, 25, 30 minutes long. And then we go, oh man, that was great. And then the host is like, and you just see it on video, right? Their face goes stone white. Their jaw hits the table. And like, man, I'm so sorry. And then you have a laugh about it and you reschedule and you do it another day. But no, it's never the same conversation.
No. And you know what? It's some of the beautiful thing. Well, you know what? We're going to leave the green room now, Jeff. This has been great, but we're going to jump into the conversation. And I want to start with that pretty quick, because to me, that's the essence of sales, right? We don't know what we're going to get hit with every day. We go out there, we got to roll with the punches. And you know, how many times have we sat down and talked to someone, and even though we may have asked some good probing questions, we may have done some good qualifying, we go through, have a great conversation, and they say, you know, you really need to sit down and talk to Mary and John about this too. And I'm going to have to go back and recreate that whole conversation. So we're going to leave. Now, one quick question before we leave the green room. For those, the couple of people that may see this video clip, we're wearing the same shirt. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever gone in the green room and your guest is wearing what you're wearing?
Occasionally, but not very often. I've got two podcasts. I've got The Why and The Buy, and I've got another one called Deeper Thought that is kind of a premium subscription-based podcast. And a lot of my frequent contributors, I've all purposely sent them shirts as a means of thanking them. So it's rare when a guest shows up wearing my shirt, because they're hard to get. I don't know, there aren't very many of them out there. You got one. I sent you one recently you were on The Why and The Buy, and I was pleasantly surprised to see you wearing it today. So yeah, this is this I think is serendipity.
Yeah, it's perfect. So it's good. And you know, the mug, I don't know if you realize, you maybe can't see on the camera, but that's hallowed space right there. Your Why and The Buy mug is right next to my Detroit Lions mug. And as we go into football season, that's key location right there, Jeff.
Perfect. I love it. It's my favorite coffee cup. When I went to pick those out, I made sure that it was the right size. I got samples. I tested it, made sure. Yeah, it's very important. You got to get these things right. And, you know, when you're putting your brand on something, it better be something I want to associate with, right? So I've got a couple of those in my cupboard. They're like the only ones that I drink out of, except during Masters Week. I have a coffee cup from the Masters when I went there a few years ago. So I drink that. I use that coffee cup during Masters Week. But yeah, those are pretty much, those are my mainstays.
Good. Hey, if you want to invite me to a future Masters Week, you just let me know and we'll figure that out. All right, Jeff, we're about to record. Anything you need before we leave the green room?
None whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever.
All right. Hey, everyone. We are really excited today. We are here with Jeff Bajorek. Jeff, you're a sales trainer, a coach, consultant, author. You do a lot of things, but I got to ask you, have you figured it out yet?
No. I feel like I am closer to it now than I was 6 months ago. I think that I am certainly further along than I was 6 years ago when I started this, but it's been really, really interesting. I know that in terms of figuring it out, it's a moving target. And I think that's something that I've always struggled with, particularly since I started this business, because it, if we're going to continue to refer to it that way, is pretty finite when you're carrying a sales bag, right? You have a manager or a VP or someone who says, we want you to sell this much this year. And so it becomes tangible. It's $1.2 million a year. It's, you know, whatever it is. I got to do $100,000 a month. I got to do, you know, $20,000 a week. And it's when you open up a business for yourself, as you know, you can start with some numbers, but then I don't know about you, Tom, but I was never doing it for the numbers. You know, I mean, there is a number that keeps the lights on and the family fed, right? That's important, but that's not, man, that's not what I'm shooting for. But then when the ceiling gets lifted and I can pick anything. Do I want to make $1.2 million a year instead of selling $1.2 million a year? I don't know. What does that even take? Right. So you kind of start with that. You're kind of in between these pie in the sky goals that you could hit, but is that even what I want? And you have the tangible stuff that you know that you need to do in order to keep the lights on and the family fed. And the actual thing is the actual thing you want to accomplish is typically somewhere in between. And it was always difficult for me to do. I'm going to flip this back around on you just for a second here before I can elaborate a little bit more on figuring it out. But I mean, how has that been for you as you're into this for a year or so, in this portion of your career?
Well, luckily at this point, I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't look at the numbers. If I do, I'm not sleeping at night. It's too much to look at. It's what am I doing every day? You know, number one, am I having fun? You know, because to me, that's an important part of sales. You need to be selling something that you enjoy and you're passionate about. And how am I going about what I do? What am I doing there? Am I getting better at what I'm doing? Am I making more contacts? Am I building relationships? I may not make any sales this week, but did I finish the week with some business owners or I'm talking to them? Like, they're going to be working with me at some point. I just have to keep going there. So for that, and I didn't know that in the beginning, but over time you learn to focus on those type of things, I think.
That is not surprising for one, because you've been a professional seller for long enough to really know what moves the needle, and the activities, those meaningful sales activities, are what moves the needle rather than the revenue coming in, right? I say that, you know, when you focus on a process, you get results, but when you focus on results, you get frustrated. And, you know, that became clear to me. It was one of my first epiphanies way back, probably 13 years ago now, you know, when I realized, yeah, I've been doing it wrong. I've been focusing on the wrong thing, you know, and you know, I didn't start with any idea. I didn't start my career with any idea about getting into sales. That was never something that I wanted to do. In fact, when someone suggested that I get into sales, I was like, are you talking to someone? Is there someone standing behind me? Like, you're looking at me saying I should get into sales? And, you know, it was, this woman who worked next to me in the hospital was so gracious and just so and so wise. And I can say that about her. I've always been able to say that about her because she was a tenured professional long before I was, and she really knew more than the rest of us combined, I feel like sometimes.
And what industry was this in, Jeff?
My degree is in sports medicine. So I was a certified athletic trainer. I was working on the sidelines, taping ankles and evaluating injuries at a local high school, and also working in a physical therapy department for a hospital system who contracted me to that high school. Okay. I turned in my resignation and she said, "What are you going to do next?" And I said, "I don't know." I gave 3.5 months notice to the hospital because I had some commitments to the high school athletes that I was working with throughout the summer, but I had to tell them, I had to give my employer time to hire someone for the fall for football season. And she said, "You know, you should consider selling." And I was like, "Man, I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, 3 or 4 other hospital systems in town. I'll be able to find a different job. I'm just dissatisfied with the one I have here. And I wish I could stay, but the terms of my job, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to bore anybody with the details." And she said, "I think you should go to the interview that I got you next week. Dust off your resume and send it to this guy tonight." What do? You go to the interview, you go home, you dust off the resume and you go to the interview, right? And what was interesting was, I gave it a shot. I listened. I heard out the person who was talking to me. I looked at the opportunity for what it was. And though I had adverse feelings, let's say, toward, you know, what I thought salespeople were, I didn't identify as an outgoing, extroverted, "Let me tell you all about this great product," right? Like, that's not me. I like to listen. I'm curious. I want to know how things work. And I remember going through the dance right over the next couple of months. I was not in any hurry. I was committed, you know, into the first part of August. And I remember finally getting the offer, probably the end of July. And the guy who hired me said, "Jeff, I want to offer you this position." And I said, "Thank you, but I just still don't understand why." And I said, "I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about sales cycles. I don't know." And he said, "I'm going to stop you right there. This is what I do know about you. You're a good person. You're a hard worker. You speak the language. And everybody, all of the surgeons," I was going to be selling to orthopedic surgeons, said, "all the surgeons you work for at the hospital who know you, I've talked to them all. They all told me to hire you." He said, "So you have the stuff that I can't teach you. I can teach you the rest." And I said, "You know what? Here I have someone who's been doing this way longer than me. They believe in me. I'm not so sure, but I'm curious enough to find out. And you know what? I can do it for a year. If I'm not happy with it after a year, I know I've got a job at a hospital system somewhere near me." And so it was kind of just my confidence in myself that I could figure it out. It was my curiosity that I was going to learn a little bit more. Because over the past couple of months, my interest had been piqued. I was, I'm not going to say I wasn't interested. I was really more confused by the thought that anybody thought I was going to be good at this, because I did not think I was going to be good at this. And so you just, you know, I went along with it. I said, "All right, I'll give this a shot." And that was the first big risk that I remember taking professionally, you know, and I've written about this recently too, where I think you need to take risks. If you don't take risks, you're going to stagnate. You're going to fall into a rut. You sometimes those ruts turn into canyons that you can't get out of. And it's not just for the opportunity to keep things fresh, but if you're not willing to take risks, you don't understand what you're capable of. You don't understand what you're leaving behind. You don't understand what you're leaving on the table. It's just so important in order to take those steps.
Yeah, you're never going to learn if you don't go out there and give it a try. Boy, you were blessed that you had the right recruiter for that job, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's somebody who really took the time and knew what they were looking for. So many people that are interviewing, looking for people, may never have handled it that way. And to me, it's such a good example. I've been talking to people recently a couple weeks ago, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about there are thousands of good sales jobs available right now. The problem is so few people are interested in them. And I think what happens is so many people look like you thought in the beginning, you know, that's not me, you know, because we've met that very extroverted, somewhat aggressive sales personality, whether we saw it on TV or we know somebody at our church group, at the school, we meet our kids and they just come across as a very aggressive seller. And we sit there and we say, well, that's not me. You know, I can't do that. But what they don't realize is that's not what makes that if that person is good at sales, that's not what makes them good. You know, I wrote down a couple of things. You talked about the confidence that you had in yourself. Obviously, you knew the product. You knew what you were doing in that industry. The mm-hmm. curiosity. To me, that curiosity is so important in sales. And I think not enough people realize that's the type of people we're looking for in sales.
Well, I like to say that you can't truly be curious if you're not willing to be wrong. And I think salespeople get painted in the light of, or shown in the light that they're the ones who feel like they know it all. And they're just going to tell you all about the things that you don't know and what you're missing. And then, you know, what's it going to take to get you into this fine used automobile today? And, you know, we go back to what we were talking about, you know, extroverts and introverts. And, you know, introverts are curious. Introverts, because of their curiosity, are going to ask more questions and they're going to lean into those conversations, and those conversations are going to be so much more engaging. And that willingness to be wrong allows you to learn things that you wouldn't otherwise learn if you weren't willing to ask. And, you know, when you ask questions that no one else will ask, you will learn things that others won't learn. And when you learn things that others won't learn, you can solve problems that others won't be able to solve. And when you can solve problems that others won't be able to solve, you make sales that others won't be able to make. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really appreciate that about my own curiosity until far later. But looking back 17 years now and thinking, yeah, we'll give it a shot. What could happen? Right. And it's really interesting as I look back and I see my own growth from someone who, I don't know that I despised salespeople, but I didn't have a lot of friends in sales. I didn't have very many family members in sales. And it was something I had dismissed. Now,
kind of an
I
unknown.
Can't imagine. Oh, I can't imagine doing anything else. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's gone so far. My psychosis has progressed this far, Tom, that I think about selling is how you interact with people on a day-to-day basis. It's how we all treat each other, you know? And you know, if we treated everybody like our best customers, we'd all get along a lot better. And we'd all understand each other a lot better. And we'd appreciate little things about each other that we gloss over or take for granted now. And that's not to say that this is some kumbaya, you know, campfire with the guitar, you know, kind of thing. It's I'm not saying we'd all agree with each other, right? The disagreement is where so much knowledge arises. Again, curiosity is not real unless you're willing to be wrong, right? So it's not that you're always willing to be convinced, but when two parties come together and have a curious conversation about a topic, whatever that is, they're coming ready to learn. Coming ready
open.
To, yeah. Oh man. And so we're still going to part ways and we're going to agree to disagree, but I agree to disagree with some of the most important people in my life. It's healthy. So I'll step off my kumbaya, you know, soapbox there, but I think, you know, I sell everybody that I am, that I interact with, right? I'm either trying to do something for them, right? I'm trying to make, maybe I'm just trying to make them smile, right? Maybe I'm trying to get a laugh. Maybe I'm just trying to be polite so that they see that there are people out there who are polite, right? Because you never know who they're going to run into next or who they just ran into, right? I mean, it's just, there's always a way to just make some kind of a positive impact. I think that's selling.
And if we can make everybody's day a little bit better, a little laughter here, a little smile.
Sure.
Now, let me ask you in that same regard, You have a sales community. You've written a book. You talk about rethinking the way you sell.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about where that came from and what you mean by that.
That came from a brainstorming session 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, sitting down with a graphic designer. Actually, the graphic designer that we met because of the why and the buy. Christy found someone on Upwork or something like that, a graphic designer. Her name is Liz Borkert. She's tremendous. And after the work that she did for the podcast, I said, you know what? I need some branding help. And so we sat down and she just interviewed me. She asked me a lot of questions. I thought about some things. She thought about some things. We had several rounds of this process. And somewhere along that thread of conversations, I uttered rethink the way you sell. And I don't even know, Tom, I don't even know if I remembered saying it. Mm-hmm. I think I remembered saying it. And I think it was one of those, oh, hey, that's pretty good. And I think I jotted a note down or she did or whatever. But then she came back with this round of, you know, branding suggestions and colors and fonts and things. And there it was right there. And I was like, oh, that's good. That feels like me. So that's where the actual, you know, it's trademarked now, but that's where, you know, my branding and my slogan came from. But
you had that opportunity to kind of sit down and think about what you're all about, what you're doing, what you want to talk about. And it was right there. I guess it was in the back of your mind. You just had to kind of verbalize it.
It's and so often that stuff, the messaging, the kind of words you want to use in a sales call, the kind of copy you want to write for your website, it comes about from conversation, you know. And think about every time, and maybe this didn't happen to you, it certainly happened to me. I know it happens to salespeople all the time. They're trying to rehearse, they're trying to memorize, they're trying to just how do I say that thing? And how do I say it so perfectly that it gets the message across? And, you know, but if you're sitting around with your buddies and you're just talking, it comes out. And are you mindful enough at that point to pay attention and say, oh, that's good. Hold on. I'm going to write that down, or I'm going to text myself that, right? Or whatever it is. But the concept itself comes from just the idea that there are a lot of guidebooks out there. There are a lot of playbooks. There are a lot of scripts. There are a lot of people who are very loud. Some of them, I mean, you and I are this sometimes where we're telling you how we think you should do it. We're telling you what's worked for us. Just do this, right? And it's easy for people like us who have been very successful in the past. And I mean, we're encouraged and also we're rewarded. And it's also very personally fulfilling to share our wisdom and our knowledge with other people. But what happens is most of the people who are paying attention to that wisdom are just looking for a get rich quick, not really get rich quick, but what's the cheat sheet? What's the silver bullet? What's the thing I should say every time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so where my foundation comes from is, you know, if you look for the guidebook or the cheat sheet or the hacks, they may be able to help you sell that thing that you're selling. Maybe. More often than not, they probably will. Mm-hmm. But they won't help you learn how to sell. Right? One of the reasons I got into this business, I wanted to leave the medical device industry. I just didn't like where things were headed. The writing was on the wall. And so I wanted to go into any other industry, right? I was very agnostic about where I wanted to go. But everybody said, well, you need 5 to 7 years of experience in order to do this job. I would read the description. And it wasn't just 5 to 7 years experience, because I had that. It was 5 to 7 years relevant industry experience. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I can sell circles around anybody that you hire. I promise. But you're not even going to give me a look, because I don't know the jargon that I can probably pick up in 6 weeks. Okay, right? So I had to find another way. I had to do things another way. But, you know, my focus is on helping people understand the fundamentals, the principles that underscore every sale that's ever made, right? And when you understand those principles, when you understand what needs to be done, you can find your own way of doing them, right? But Tom, if you try to sell like me, if I try to sell like you, we've both been very, very successful. But I will not be as successful selling like you as I will like me. You will not be as successful selling like me as you will like you.
Not if we're doing it right.
No. And so what I try to do is help people kind of, you know, and talking about the fundamentals, you talk back to basics. Yeah. How sexy is that? Nobody wants to hear that. But when you get to those basics, when you understand those fundamentals, when you understand what needs to be done, you can do it your own way. When you do it your own way, you have more fun. I love what you said. If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. When you do it your own way, you can have more fun. You're going to be more effective. When you're having more fun and you're more effective, it's more fulfilling for you. When it's more fulfilling, you're going to do it more often. And when you do something that you're really good at more often, it starts to look like exponential growth, Tom. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm trying to get people to understand is you may not feel like you can do this a certain way. You may not feel like okay, Bajorek and Bloomer, they're telling me that I could be successful at this, but I just don't see it. Well, let's break things down to their basics. Let's break things down to bare bones, brass tacks, as they say, and let's look at what needs to be done. How do you think you could do that? I'm going to give you permission. I'm going to give you the fuel that you need and the encouragement that you need to do it your own way. Because you will sell best when you sell like you. And I think there's room for that narrative. There's room for that language even. Go sell like you. Sell the best you can. Rethink the way you sell so you can sell like you. So you can be more fulfilled by your sales process. So you can be more fulfilled by the people you can help. So you can be more successful. So you can be a top 1% performer. So you can rise to whatever career heights you want to reach.
And that's the beautiful part, because even that is different for every person.
You 100%. Know,
there are a lot of phenomenal salespeople, they love what they're doing. They're never going to get to that top 1%, but that's not why they're doing it. You know, that's not what they're in with it. And, you know, one of the things I love the way you said they were looking for that relevant experience. I didn't have it, but you knew you could sell laps around the other people there. Mm-hmm. To me, that's where it starts, is that belief in yourself.
100%.
You have to believe in yourself first, and then you have to have that curiosity and truly the desire to help others. You know, you're in sales, we're problem solvers. If we're mm-hmm. not solving problems, we're not doing our job really well. That's what we have to be good at. And if you believe in yourself, if you enjoy the product and you're trying to help people solve their problems, it's going to work out. It really is. As long as they're getting some good encouragement. So I want to ask you too, you work and you coach a lot of sellers. Mm-hmm. Are you coaching and working with many sales leaders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Walk us through, because that to me was always one of the biggest issues. A lot of sales leaders didn't understand that Jeff and Tom are going to go about this differently, and they can both be successful doing it their way. So how do you work with some of the sales leaders, showing them and making sure they understand that? Mm.
There are a lot of ways that I do that. And, you know, just getting into the conversation and, you know, when the leader breaks down what their team is doing and what particularly when their team's not performing well, it's like, okay, where are they missing? Tom, you're the sales leader. Tom, where do you think your rep is underperforming here? Right? I remember this conversation I had a couple of years ago. It was a retail organization and they were selling high-end custom products, but they had a showroom. And they said, you know, Jeff, we think you can help us. They saw me speak at an event and they you know, reached out and said, you know, we think you can help us. We like your style. And they said, our team is underperforming. I said, okay, how are they doing against their quotas? Well, we don't give them quotas. Oh, okay. Well, we don't want that. I mean, we like our people. We don't want that toxic kind of code. We don't want people, you know, we don't give them commissions either because, you know, it's a retail environment. We don't want them climbing all over each other for the next customer that walks in the door, et cetera. We're really protective of our culture. And I said, that is really, really important because culture is vital to the success of an organization. But if you haven't given them any standards, And if you haven't given them any incentive to sell more, you say they're underperforming. I'm going to ask you, says who and compared to what?
How do they know?
And they said, oh my gosh, Jeff, we never thought about it that way. And it's okay that you never thought about it that way. And by the way, this is a thriving company. They were just looking to take that next step, right? They weren't, you know, losing money. Like they were very, very profitable. And they gave out discretionary bonuses to their people because they wanted to share in that profitability. It's a wonderful organization. But I think a lot of leaders have blinders on. And they have blinders based on their own experience. They have blinders based on what their leadership gives them. And what I do is kind of open up those blinders a little bit. And so, Tom, if you come to me and you say, you know, I got this rep, Jeff Bajorek, he's just not getting it done. I know he's capable of more. I just don't think he's working hard enough. I don't think he's certainly got the skill set that he could have if he invested more in himself. Can you help me reach him? And I'll say, Tom, why do you think Jeff's got that approach? Has that always been Jeff's approach, right? What changed? Was he a good hire or a bad hire? I mean, if he just made a mistake with the hire, then maybe this is a really simple solution. Mm-hmm. But if he used to perform better and he's not anymore, what do you think could be going on? Well, I guess I never thought about that. Could there be something in his personal life that maybe is impacting him that he doesn't want to admit and you're not legally allowed to ask? Well, I guess that could, is that something we should be sensitive to? Right? Has something changed? Well, you know, we changed the comp plan a little bit, and we also cut his territory in half. And you know, in order to make room for more reps and more growth, and we see great opportunities. Like, okay, have you been fair to Jeff? You know, one of the things that I think most sales managers forget is that when you're a manager, whether or not you are carrying a bag still for your company, your reps are your customers now. So, have you given Jeff what he needs to succeed? Remember, Tom, when you were back in the field, you used to encourage your customers to and give them the solutions and give them the options and the your own opinions and the things to think about. You used to give them the advice so they could succeed the best that they could. Are you investing in Jeff the same way? Or are you just beating him until his morale improves, right? Like, let's think about that. And what I try to bring is more of a holistic approach to that relationship as well as the rep and customer relationships, because I believe they're almost exactly the same. And when you start to get your managers and your leaders to think differently, a lot of really good things happen.
And you know, what's interesting is I'm listening, you're kind of almost role-playing that discussion. And you started off by asking several questions. You know, when they said, hey, here's our dilemma, you didn't say, I've got that solved. You know, here's what we need to do. Let me do this and that. You started asking them questions. There's that curiosity. And, you know, as you said earlier, it's the same thing. You're now looking at, it's a different type of sale, but it's basically the same thing. And you're sitting there listening and looking for that solution. So,
Hey, listeners, it's Kelly Bloomer here to tell you the show is brought to you by Bloomer Associates. If you visit our website found in your show notes, you'll find we offer sales training, talent assessment for hiring and team development, and individual coaching for sales pros and managers. We bring over 30 years in media sales and leadership experience. If you enjoy listening to OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales, ask how our team can work with your sales team for virtual meetings, roundtables, and motivational seminars. You can contact us through our website or call today, 919-267-9871. Now back to our show.
Tell me about what you're doing now. What's the most important? When you wake up tomorrow, what do you have potentially on the agenda? What gets you juiced at this point? 17 years later, a business, you're doing what you're doing. You've got the podcast. You've got different things going on. What keeps you still juiced in this industry?
I learn something new every day. I meet new, and you know, it's just as soon as I feel like I've got something figured out, something else comes out of left field and challenges me, right? I'll see a colleague of mine doing something really intriguing, you know, on LinkedIn or Instagram or something. I'll see that and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And, you know, I'm gutsy enough sometimes to reach out and actually develop relationships with those people. I've networked really well over the last 6 years, and those people continue to challenge me. They continue to make me think differently. They continue to make me expand my horizons. You know, but what I do, I mean, and you know, perhaps this is the greatest thing ever, and perhaps it's just my psychosis, but I very much over-identify personally with what I do professionally. And I think that means that you get me all the time, right? But maybe it means that I have a hard time leaving work at work when I go home, right? And working out of my home, like I always have, makes that even more difficult. But I'm really pouring a lot of energy and resources into the Rethink the Way You Sell .com community. Doing a lot to engage the membership there, building out more of my premium offerings behind the paywall. There's some stuff there too. But what I do with my clients is I build custom courses for them. So they get a bespoke course with all of the means to access me and reach me and get coached by me asynchronously while having their own curriculum there for them that goes to supplement the in-person engagements that I do. So really excited about a couple of deals I have in the pipeline right now that are pushing my limits and my boundaries a little bit. And I've also got another book that I'm sketching out mentally right now that I think you're going to hear a lot more about pretty soon.
Very good. Good. I look forward to hearing about it and hopefully reading it soon. You know, what I heard there, it sounds like, you know, you got a lot of things going on, but you mentioned you got a couple deals in the pipeline. So it sounds like that the sale is still, it's one of those things that we get jazzed up over, right? No matter, we can be real busy, can have a lot of things going on, but that adrenaline gets going.
I love selling. Tom, I love selling. I love it from the standpoint of being able to help people, right? And I know that if you help enough people, I mean, Zig Ziglar said, if you help enough people get what they want, they'll help you get what you want. I love the idea that I'm helping people, but every new deal that I bring along, I'm coming up with something new. I'm coming up with something different. I'm expanding my own horizons. And so those challenges come about, right? The first client that I ever did a custom course for, I was like, hey, what do you think about this? And they said, Jeff, that sounds great. Okay, let me sketch some things out and I'll come back. Let's talk again in a couple of days and we'll kind of really refine this a little bit and, you know, come up with a framework for it and we'll see what that looks like. I said, all right, great. Can't wait to talk to you again, Jeff. I get off the phone and I'm like, I guess I better create some custom programming. Because, you know, that sounds really cool. All right, why don't you just keep your mouth shut, right? But that's just it. I get excited with every new deal because I grow right alongside my customers and my clients. And it's just a lot of fun to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, in preparation for today, I've got about five other topics that I wanted to tee up. And we're running out of time. We're not going to get to them. But, you know, to me, that's the beautiful part. I love talking to people that really enjoy sales because this is the kind of conversation that happens. You know, I don't have to get to every one of those topics. We will one of these days, though. I do want to talk to you about a couple things. But real quick, the podcast with Christy. You know, I work with a lot of small business owners, and what I find is how important having that accountability, having somebody you're working with on it, and you keep each other accountable. I love your podcast. It was a pleasure to be on it. I really appreciate you guys having me on. I enjoyed listening to it. Tell us about just that. You've done it for 5 years. That's a long time because it's hard to really equate the value of what you're building in that podcast. So is working with a partner on that, has that been a key element of it?
Yes. I wouldn't have a podcast if it weren't for Christy. And, you know, now I think... I mean, it's a round number, but I'm pretty confident in it. I've done over 600 episodes. We've done, you know, between the 400 and however many we've done on the why and the buy, there's 110 or so of deeper thought that I've done. And, you know, podcast appearances like this, you know, I've got a page on my website dedicated just to the podcast appearances on shows that aren't mine. And, you know, there's at least 100 there. So we might be pushing 700 episodes. I wouldn't have had that. I wouldn't have had that really the willingness or the interest in doing it that way if it weren't for her. So having a partner is tremendous. Being able to share some of the responsibilities is really helpful too. But I'll tell you where it most significantly for me, man, some days I just don't have it. you know, someday it's, I just got off a long flight, or the kids kept me awake, or there's just a lot of stress or something going on. And sometimes you just not on it that day, right? We've been doing this long enough. I don't know if it's a sixth sense or whatever, but if I'm not on it, man, she brings her A game. And we don't talk about it ahead of time or anything like that, but you can just, we've worked together so closely and our chemistry is so well ingrained at this point. We've got a flow. We don't script anything anymore. She just knows when it's her turn to speak. I know when it's my turn to speak. I know when it is normally her turn to speak, but I got to jump in. I got to say something right, you know, real quickly. But I know that some of our best episodes, some of the episodes that people come to me with and they say, man, that was really, really good. I loved you guys on that show. And I said, man, I'll tell you what, I was nowhere to be found. I was AWOL that day. Mm-hmm. Christy saved that episode, right? We together as a unit are way better than either one of us individually. So it's nice to have someone to rely on, to lean on. You know, we play euchre up here in Michigan. You always count on your partner for one, right? You count on your partner to take one trick in the hand. I can always count on her. And she's over-delivered on that over the past 4.5 years for sure.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of salespeople over the years. And there's different classification. We all sell differently, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of lone wolves that are out there and they just kind of do their own thing. But yeah, to me, the top salespeople and the ones that really seem fulfilled and enjoying it, they always had two or three people that pushed each other, that relied on each other, that they could call after a tough call. So, you know, I always try and encourage somebody who's in your circle. You know, who are you talking with every day? And I just think that can be so important in sales.
I used to, in medical device sales, I was door to door, right? I had a ton of windshield time. I had a big territory and I was driving from hospital to hospital, doctor's office to doctor's office. And so there'd be sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours between calls. I mean, when I started the last company I was with before I started with this, started this business, I had the entire state of Michigan, which meant calls to the Upper Peninsula, right?
But that's a small state though, Jeff, right?
Right. You know,
no rural Michigan.
No. You know, there's more than just Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids, by the way. But I'd have 4-day trips. And this was really pre-podcast, right? It was definitely pre-iPhone for me. My BlackBerry didn't have a podcast app, right? So we'd have books on CD and other audio programs and stuff like that. But man, I had a half a dozen other top performing reps in the company on speed dial. And if there was a good signal, I was going to be on the phone. And we learned from each other. We held each other accountable. We patted each other on the back. We were shoulders for each other to cry on. And what was really interesting was kind of what I like to call the Bubba factor. Actually, it was the VP at this company who coined that term, at least to me. But we all had different ways of selling that worked locally. And I remember my friend in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I had another friend in Baltimore, Maryland, I had another friend in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was like, man, that's not how I do it. And I couldn't do it that. There's no tolerance for doing it that way. So it just really kind of underscored the whole sell like you, concept. Today, I have what I call my sandbox. And there's three or four of us. We get together on a monthly basis on a Zoom call. And I got so tired of the mastermind term that I had to call it something else. So I have a half a dozen people or so that play in my sandbox with me. And it's really nice to just get together. We coach each other sometimes. Sometimes we just laugh together. Sometimes we just, when you got something to brag about, or you got something you're really, really excited about, you know, there's half a dozen people or so that I'm really excited to share that with. And we get together once a month to do that, as well as various, you know, texts and calls and impromptu Zoom sessions and things like that. But it's important to have those people. And the podcast has really helped me to not just work more closely with those people, but in some cases to meet them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it sounds like you and I would both encourage anybody listening today, if you don't have people like that in your world, there are so many ways now to get them. You know, through LinkedIn, through communities like yours, and people just have to go out there and look, because it's such a valuable thing.
It's a team sport. Anthony Iannarino told me that. he said, Jeff, I'm happy to help. Right. And he's not necessarily in my inner circle, nor am I in his. And that's for lots of reasons. But he's been very gracious to me. He's been very generous with me. And he's like, Jeff, it's a team sport. I'm happy to, you know, have you on my team, but you should really consider building a team of your own, because we cannot do this alone. It just doesn't work that way. And I'll never forget where I was sitting right here at my desk when he told me that. And it's indelible. And I approach it that way. And you know what? I mean, even doing what we do, Tom, it's similar enough. Some people could call us competitors. There's so much out there for us to help people with. I mean, I would way rather work together than consider someone a competitor. There's just too much fun to have and too much good to do. So, it's you can't do it yourself. So you might as well have fun doing it with other people.
Absolutely. And boy, I tell you, I've had a lot of fun talking sales with you today, Jeff. This has been great. Really appreciate you coming on the show. For our listeners, how do they reach out to you? How do they become part of the sales community you have there? And what's the best way for them to get in touch?
JeffBajorek.com is my website. You can go there. You'll be prompted to check out the community. Of course, that's where my blog is. And there's a page for my upcoming live training and live events and things like that. But RethinkTheWayYouSell.com is probably the best way to contact me. I ask a couple of questions right at the front just to see what you want to get out of the platform. But I mean, you can send me a direct message right there. That's probably the best way.
Fantastic. All right. Hope to have you back when the new book comes out. We'll talk some more.
So consider it done.
That'll be great. I promise I'll wear a Detroit Lions shirt, so we won't be exactly the same in the green room.
So, Tom, is this where we tell everybody about your new book?
I think it is, Kelly. Teach Me Sales is a 21-day roadmap to sales success.
So if you want to be a success in sales, the road to success is always under construction. Map out the best route for the help of a proven sales leader with over 30 years of experience. Tom shares his insights into how to succeed in sales. His 21-day roadmap will help you build the daily habits to not only find your path, but to take the steps necessary to excel and prosper along it. Each chapter is designed to encourage you to commit to that extra degree of effort to invest in yourself and your future along this rewarding and personal journey.
So, Kelly, do you think we should share some of the advanced praise for Teach Me Sales?
I think we should. Like Jeffrey Gittimore, author of The Little Red Book of Selling, he said, "You don't get great at sales in a day. You get great at sales day by day." Teach Me Sales is the daily formula that puts you on the path to a lifetime of selling success. Buy it, read it, implement it. And then David Cottrell, author of Monday Morning Leadership and Quit Drifting, Lift the Fog, and Get Lucky, he said, Teach Me Sales is an engaging, entertaining, and enlightening book. Tom Bloomer shares his gift of storytelling, humor, habits, processes, and encouragement to guide you to become a complete, successful salesperson. Invest 5 minutes a day for 21 days and enjoy your sales and personal growth. You can do it.
Thanks, Kel. We are so excited. I hope everyone that's interested enjoys the book. We have a link for the book in our show notes. We look to join you on your sales journey.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, Teach Me Sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week. And don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, OKBoomerTeachMeSales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn at Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.